Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time, right?
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I am the author of The Little Red Book of Selling and the self-proclaimed King of Sales. And this is my partner.
I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute.
And she is pretty damn good.
Oh, thanks, Jeffrey.
Well, pretty darn good if you're, you know,
one of those language-sensitive
people.
If you are, don't listen to
her. I think political correctness is about to take a vacation. we are live on Facebook.com. If you're listening to the podcast version of this episode, make sure that you join us on Facebook for the next live broadcast.
That's right, because we're taking your questions and your comments live, and all you need to do is join us on Facebook to join the conversation.
And get answers to your questions that may help you make a sale. Now, I want to say hello to somebody, very, very important person with very new technology. We're going to take a look at the voice, the disembodied voice of the customer, our producer, the great Doug Branson. But look at him.
This is so cool.
Hello. Wait, you can tell.
You can see Doug and Chris.
He turned his hat around backwards so you could see it's a hornet's hat.
That's right.
And wait, can you guys look at the camera just so they could see your faces?
Yeah, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, awesome.
All right, there you go.
All right, if you're just listening to us and you can't see us, you're really missing out here. This is cool.
Yeah, and here's a little live TV secret. This camera is a little delayed, so that's why I've got my head turned, because the voice would not match.
That's a good secret to know.
I just told everyone.
Oh, I just see it. I see my mouth is not moving to the
right.
It's not sinking.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, we should have got a better camera up there.
Hey, well.
So if I wave, my arm's not going to go up for 5 minutes. Okay, cool. There you go.
Now we're all impressed.
Okay.
So, hello, guys. A reminder to everyone watching live that, first of all, this is live. As you can probably tell already, we had some audio issues at the beginning. Apologies
for that. We don't apologize.
You can subscribe to our podcast and get every one of our shows in audio form on iTunes, Stitcher, whatever you use to listen to podcasts. Just search Sell or Die. Jeffrey, Jennifer, what's going on in your sales world?
Next week, at the end of the week, January the 19th, I'm going to be in New York City live for about 3 hours from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock in the evening.
Public event.
A public event. There's only 200 tickets and more than 100 are gone already, so I'm assuming they'll all be gone by that time. But be there. There's people coming in from all over the country, and we're going to just hang out at 26 Broadway on Lower Manhattan and talk about sales. And there's a special hidden event that you must be signed up for the first show in order to get to the second show the next morning.
Yeah, you won't actually get invited unless you register.
Yeah, so exactly.
Where do they go to register, Jeffrey?
You go to go.gittimer.com/live. Wow, there it is right on the screen.
I love that. Register your seat today.
Go.gittimer.com/live to register for your inexpensive but well worth it.
Yeah.
Well, and Jenny, what's happening?
All right,
with you,
so it's our 1 year anniversary.
Oh my goodness.
Wow, I love that.
Who's going to clean the confetti up from the floor?
Oh, man, we got to brush it off ourselves.
Hold on, someone down my shirt. Okay, cool.
Yeah, right.
We're good. So,
I'm working on a new website.
So am I.
And I know.
Yeah, we're
and both. Mine's going to look pretty similar to how it is now, but it'll be a bit better organized, and it's going to be coded in HubSpot, so I'm going to be able to track like who's clicking where.
We have a guy behind the scenes, John Pavone, who is the HubSpot transition expert. You may not know him by name, but we're going to tell you where to
find his company, Spoke Services, and he's phenomenal.
SpokeServices.com?
Yeah. I don't know. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. That's
SpokeServices.com.
Yeah, and he's really great to work with. So
totally
maybe we'll interview him for a future show while he's
in coming up, we got a great show. For the next few weeks, we're going to put our focus onto sales managers, also known as sales leaders. And this week, we're talking about the two biggest reasons that your sales reps are not meeting their quota, because a great number of them do not meet the quota, and you blame them for not meeting their quota when, in fact, there's other extenuating circumstances.
And if you're a sales rep, you make a reason or an excuse why you're not making quota.
Exactly.
But plus, we get the latest trends in sales management from sales expert Glenn Mattson.
So let's get into it. It's time to sell or die.
Sell or die.
We're ready to reveal the two biggest reasons why your reps aren't making quota.
Hold on. What do you think they are? You're listening. There's thousands of you out there. Put it up on Facebook. What do you think is the biggest reason that your reps, or if you are a rep, what's the biggest reason that you don't make quota or your people don't make quota?
Okay. So before we get to our two reasons, we need a little data. Let's run the numbers.
Oh.
All right, I'm going to give you some numbers, Jeffrey, and like usual, you're going to guess what they are. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
60%.
60% of the people in the world have the wrong life insurance.
Maybe, but this show is about the two biggest reasons your reps aren't making quota.
Got it.
60%, according to CSO Insights, only 60% of sales reps meet quota.
Wow.
That means 40% of reps don't meet quota.
Wait, let me
quota.
See. 100 minus 60. Okay, go ahead. Keep going, Jen.
All right. That's a lot of... That's high. Okay. 39%.
39% of America wakes up in the morning and drinks Death Wish coffee.
I sure hope so.
Yep.
39% of sales professionals said transparency would also help sales teams reach quota.
Oh, give me a break.
According to Spring CM.
That's such bullshit. Okay, keep going.
Okay, 73%.
It's 74%.
No, it's 73.
Oh, 74%. Let's see. What could that possibly be? Can't get to the decision maker.
73%, according to a report from Aberdeen, 73% of salespeople using social selling as part of their sales process outperform their peers and exceeded quota 23% more often.
Like it.
So if you're not using social media.
Or social selling,
what the hell are you waiting for?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to wait until my computer won't catch on fire or until it becomes more popular so that all my competition can bury me within the next year. Social selling, by the way, is going to dominate this year more than ever. So now it's time for Sell or Die's two biggest reasons that your sales reps are not making quota. And if you happen to be a sales rep, why don't you listen up, because this can help you too. So Jenny, what's the first big reason?
The first big reason is value. Sales reps are not providing value. They're showing up and they're talking about their products. They're talking about their services. They're talking about themselves.
How great they are.
Of course, they're the best in the world, aren't they?
Yep.
But they're not talking about or helping the customer see the value that they can offer and making it in the customer's way of thinking. So if the customer cares about a certain color or type or whatever, they're not putting it in those terms. They're talking about the features and the benefits rather than what the customer actually cares about. So the customer is not seeing value.
Let me put my two cents on that one.
Go for it.
It has to, something has to occur after a person takes ownership. And if you can get them to visualize what happens and how they win after they take ownership, that's where value occurs. You know, there's this intersection between sales crap and value. And right here is ownership. And that's right after they make the purchase.
So you think about like how you're going to feel after you own it, or
exactly.
what it's going to do for you after you own it.
And the salesperson can put that into their vision.
But the salesperson is missing that. And as a sales manager, you have to wonder, why are they missing that? Do they not see the value themselves? Are they just overtrained on features and benefits?
I have a two-part answer for mine.
Okay, let's hear it.
One is they're not getting to the decision maker, the real decision maker, and it's because, this is part two, they don't understand how that decision is going to be made. So the sales rep goes in and says, are you the decision maker? And some guy lies and says yes, and they believe it. And then they say, well, we have this meeting, and we decide on who's going to get it. So this is my recommendation. You never ask, are you the decision maker? Rather, if you're a sales manager right now, this is how you have to teach your reps to get to the decision maker, because that's their biggest complaint. I couldn't get to the right guy. All the rep has to do is say, how will this decision be made? Not are you, how do you make the decision? And then the customer says, well, we get a group of people together and we decide. And the rep is supposed to say, okay, then what? Well, then we take it to the CFO to get his initials, but he always goes along with what we say. That's a bunch of crap. So now I know that the CFO is going to make the decision. I'm even going to say, then what? Well, anything over 50,000, the boss has to, you know, the CEO has to. So the CEO is the guy who's going to decide. You think it's people sitting around a table who can't decide what color toilet paper to buy without their daddy. And so I'm challenging you that that's the process. How will the decision be made? Then what? And if you're a sales leader, a sales manager, you better teach your salespeople that strategy.
I love it. That's awesome. All right. So coming up soon, Jeffrey, you have an ebook coming out for sales managers.
I do. It's called Sales Management, and I crossed it out and put leadership.
If you want to be one of the first people to get Jeffrey's newest ebook, and it's free, all about sales leadership and sales management, email ebook@gitomer.com and we will reserve one of the first copies for you.
Do it right now. ebook@gitomer.com. Oh, we do?
Let's go to Facebook.
Facebook.
Live. All right. Francis Thomas says, sell the sizzle, not the steak. Alan Harrison, no desire, laziness. Eric,
too much windshield time. Whoa.
I love it.
Yeah.
Not enough action. Amy.
They aren't held accountable.
They aren't held accountable. Cool. I love it.
This is cool. Right. Thanks for those responses.
You know, they could hold themselves accountable.
I would rather use the word responsible. I think if you're responsible for something, it means you owe it to yourself. If you're accountable, then you owe it to somebody else. I would rather take responsibility and get
Yeah, but as sales managers, because we have a lot of sales managers listening, they feel like they need to hold their reps accountable.
But
they feel like that's part of their job.
Sales reps got into sales, so they wouldn't have to be accountable.
Of course.
So let's just make them responsible.
Well, you got to hope. I had a rep once who posted pictures of herself horseback riding during her sales call time. I'm like, really? How is your horse Lucy?
Yeah, exactly. So let me take a second to tell you about a service that I absolutely love. It is called Owler. We have our Owler wardrobe because when you use Owler, it makes you smarter.
I love it.
Owler is the crowdsourced competitive intelligence platform that over 1 million business professionals use to outsmart their competition, gain competitive insights, and uncover the latest industry news and alerts. Now, I use it myself. I get information on competitors. I get information on companies that I'm serving. And I get other information on people that I like or people that I need to deal with, like American Airlines or Apple. So I want to have understanding and competitive advantage in order to be able to take advantage. And Owler gives it to me for free.
I'll say this. There are 5 emails I read every morning. Just five. Religiously every morning. And Owler is one of them.
Oh, without a doubt.
Because I need to know what's going on.
Right. You get that morning kick. It's better than coffee.
All right. So you can sign up for free. You can follow Jeffrey on Owler and automatically receive his latest sales tips and videos along with insights. Just go to Owler.com and in the search box, type by Gitomer.
Whoa.
Then click on the yellow star to follow him. Owler's free, so sign up today.
I agree. All right. Now, what else is cooking now?
Okay. So now, if you want to sponsor our show and you want to have your business or service viewed by thousands of motivated people that watch the show every week, email Doug, our producer, at sellerdie@gitomer.com for more information. We got a question on Facebook. Let's look.
This is kind of fun. I mean, we're like talking to people all over the world. Eric Pugh, 46. Okay. Need to build new business.
No, I think is he saying his age is 46? Okay.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, cool.
Need to build new business. Hard to cold call at this age. Any advice? It's hard to cold call at any
22 age. 22-year-olds still want a cold call. Right. What do you?
Right. Millennials think that sending an email is a cold call. But this is the challenge. You have to look at your old business in order to get the new business. If you have customers that already love you, meet them for coffee in the morning. Talk about what's going on in their marketplace. They will give you ideas. Many of them used to work someplace else. They can give you names of people. There's all kinds of things that you can do.
What if Eric doesn't have customers who already love him?
If Eric doesn't have customers, then he has to go to LinkedIn. And LinkedIn will provide him names, addresses, email addresses of people that are potential customers.
Okay, but then don't cold call them or like weirdly reach out to them and say, hi, I think we have synergy, so let's connect. Connected. Exactly. Yeah. Ask for a warm referral through one of your connections.
You know, it's interesting. I have a lot of connections, and sometimes people will ask me for a referral. I don't even know who the hell the person is. But I always do it, though. If you ask me for something, I'll try my best to be able to accommodate you. I don't just ignore it.
But don't go out and asking him now.
Yeah, exactly. Please. But listen, if you do, I'll help you.
So let's get to Facebook. Anything else, Doug, on Facebook? No? All right. Keep the comments, questions coming. Don't be shy. Come on. If we don't get to your question on this show, or maybe you're listening to our podcast on iTunes, you can send any sales question you have to sellerdie@gittimer.com, and we'll try to answer it on our next show.
I concur. So,
some of you out there may be listening to the sales management talk as a sales rep, and you might be thinking, why should I even be a leader? It's time to visit the classroom at the Gittimer Learning Academy to find out.
Check it out. Why should I be, or why do I need to be, the leader? Well, the money answer is that leaders have an easier time attracting business and are called upon when answers are needed. The power answer is they're a resource for information and influence. Everybody in the field knows the leader. Not everyone in the field knows the salesman. And in sales, there's a little-known truth that can make all the difference in your success. In sales, it's not who you know. In sales, it's who knows you. Leadership is the true challenge for the 21st century. You know, your competitors, they're getting stiffer and smarter than ever. And customers, how they doing? More demanding? Huh? Profit margins thinning down just a little bit? All these trends create leadership opportunities, not whining opportunities. There's lots of salespeople who lead their team that don't want any kind of managerial position whatsoever because they can't afford the cut in pay. Salespeople are out there making a ton of money, and some of them establish leadership positions and some don't. My challenge to you is, it is much better in your own mind and in your market position to be known as the leader.
Awesome. Let's say hello to our friends on Facebook.
Okay. Hello.
Let's do it. We're putting it up on the screen.
Hello.
Hi, Amy. Amy Spink says, what was the second reason reps don't make goal?
Can't get to decision maker and find out how the decision is going to be made.
Or getting to the wrong person, you had said.
Right. They get to some guy who claims he's a decision maker, and he's really not. He sits on a group of people that sit around and decide, and they go have to ask their daddy.
Yeah. So just to recap for those of you just joining us, the first reason was value. Right. Reps are not offering value. They're just telling features and benefits, right, selling on product, service. And the second reason was not getting to the decision maker.
I want to take it just a little bit further. As a sales leader, you have to teach your people, and your people have to be inspired enough to develop deep belief. They have to believe in the company, the product, themselves, and their ability to beat the competition. Then they have to believe that the customer is better off having purchased from them. That whole process develops that deep-rooted belief, which manifests itself in attitude and self-confidence.
So for our sales managers listening, I have a few ideas, but I'd like to hear yours as well, Jeffrey. How can the manager help the salesperson get that belief?
By displaying it himself or herself first. By not reprimanding people and telling them how lousy they are, but rather go out with your sales guys and make a sale in front of them. By setting a standard, not leading by example.
I think I love that. And I think also when a sales rep hears it, not just from the company, but when they hear testimonials, like real ones on video from clients, and they see the clients really benefiting from whatever it is they're selling, they immediately get that belief.
Cool. So
A reminder to our podcast listeners, you can watch us live on Facebook. The best way to find out when we'll be live is to follow us on Twitter at Gittimer or at Jen in a New York Minute and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer and facebook.com/Jen in a New York Minute.
Yeah.
So now it's time for our special guest, Glenn Mattson.
Ding, 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 ding.
He is the president of Mattson Enterprises. Glenn is a seasoned veteran of the selling profession. His niche is working with financial services producers and field managers who want to shorten their selling cycle. Doesn't everyone want to shorten their selling cycle?
Yeah, of course they do. But Glenn's going to show you how to do it. I mean, that's
And he's going to show them how to grow their revenues and boost their team's productivity and margins for profit. We spoke with Glenn a few days ago about his thoughts on sales management skills and challenges and trends for 2017. So if you have a question during this interview, make sure to ask it in the comment section and we'll answer it right after.